I'm worth the man. And we need all the sexy ladies to report on the dance floor. And you know my slogan. No fighting in the ring.
Welcome back to the program. This makes me want to go to a club, even though I'm officially too old to go to the clubs.
It does. This is a really good song.
They did a study like, you're officially too old to go to the club at the age of 37.
Really?
If you're over 37, you're too old to go to the club, so.
It's probably special occasions.
What is that based off of?
I don't know. I forgot who even did the study. Like Slate.com or something?
Why is that the age?
I don't know. I don't know. That almost seems like that's a little high. It seems like 30, like seriously, it seems like 35.
It's like I've been done for longer than 3 years.
Well, I mean, I was never really a club guy to begin with.
I haven't been to the club besides a concert since I was probably 19 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go to one every. Usually, if I'm going, it's because it's somebody's birthday and that's where they want to go. Clubs, but for the most part, I don't go.
Clubs just haven't become a huge thing with our generation yet, Giamatti. I don't know why.
Yeah, no, they haven't. I remember Club 15 was big for. Kind of the
a year
that was Edmonds Club, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, but I mean, like when I was your guys' age and a little bit younger, that's when Laclede's Landing was. Everybody went.
Yeah, that's all. That's all I heard about. My older cousins and things like that.
Yeah,
man.
Same.
That's all I ever heard about.
You went to Bar St. Louis. You went to Morgan Street Brewery. You went to Banana Joe's. I'm trying to think of all the other ones that were there. I mean, you went to all these different clubs that were on the landing. We went there all the time.
I would get off of school. Sometimes 10 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock, because that's where the Extremist by Nelly is down on the landing. And
yeah.
It was pretty much dead when I would go down there. It was kind of sad.
Bar St. Louis is fun because they would let the girls dance on the bar.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, they let the girls dance on the bar. And that was like before, at the time, I just started shaving my head. And that was before, like, everybody was shaving their head. So it was really rare to see somebody like me with a shaved head. And, the girls would be up there dancing on the bar, and then they'd be like, they'd want to come down. And they would, like, you know, rub my head and be like, oh, your head's real smooth. And be like, yeah, you know, one thing leads to another. And
I like it, man.
Bada beep, bada boop. It was right around a year ago that I was having a real tough time finding the right car at the right price. I did a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, henhouse, outhouse, and doghouse in a 15-mile radius. Thankfully, my long and arduous search led me to Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Everything from the quality to the price to the service exceeded my expectations, and I know that they can do the same for you. Bellman Automotive not only has a wide inventory of new and used vehicles, but also has a top-notch service department and financing for everyone. You really can't go wrong at Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com.
Do you think the attention on the field right now is... I'd like to equate it to Dan Cook line. It's like dad just hit mom at the dinner table and everyone's just sitting there like,
yeah,
just super awkward. You know what I mean?
I would imagine in the dugout, it's got to be super tense.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be. And they showed earlier.
Just threw his helmet.
Well, he threw his helmet because the guy made a good play. He thought he was going to have a double.
I saw him.
Yeah, Yachty thought he was going to have a double and the outfielder made a good play. So it wasn't like, you know, he's just like, Matheny says something snarky to him as he was running down to first. I mean, he was...
Justified frustration.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was just out of frustration. I wouldn't read too much into that thing. But they showed Matheny earlier, and he was talking to Grichuk, and it looked like he was trying to get Grichuk pumped up, and he had him by the shoulders, and he was, like, shaking at him. It looked like he was yelling at him. And then Grichuk turned to the side, and he was smiling, because at first I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, the Cardinals have
our
completely...
Our heads are falling off!
Yeah. Okay, now that's a funny movie. That's a funny line from a funny movie.
What movie is it?
What?
Are you really gonna sit here and defend the stupid humor of Dumb and Dumber,
but then
come after Step Brothers?
Okay, because the guys in Dumb and Dumber were likable.
No.
They were so much... Yes, they were.
I couldn't spend I could not spend a minute in
the
room with Lloyd.
They were so much more likable than what Will Ferrell and John Reilly were in Step Brothers.
John Reilly
and Will Ferrell and Step Brothers were not likable people at all. You'd beat them with a bat if you ever met them in real life.
I'm a huge fan of Step Brothers, but I'm also a big fan of Dumb and Dumber, too.
But then just sitting out on... I mean, coming after...
You don't like Dumb and Dumber?
Step Brothers, but then just sitting on Dumb and Dumber. I think Dumb and Dumber was fine, but I always was a little bit...
No, he's saying I'm inconsistent.
He's inconsistent, and I personally, much like Berger, was a little bit annoyed by the Step Brothers characters, which I'm not disagreeing with. I can see why they're annoying. I would get annoyed like that at times when I would watch Dumb and Dumber.
Sometimes, I thought that was the whole purpose of them. They were supposed to be annoying.
Yeah, they're kind of supposed to make you angry.
That was like their shtick.
It's kind of the point.
Okay, you're supposed to be at a comedy, and the comedy is making you angry. That doesn't make any sense. The comedy is making you angry.
I'm not angry. Angry and annoyed are very different things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like a lot of people don't like Borat because they found Borat annoying, but I found Borat funny as hell.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize when I first saw it that it was all real. Like, these are all, like, real interviews.
Yeah, not
stuff
in on
like
the
that.
Joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got sued so many times.
So many times.
Movie.
When I saw Borat in the movie theater, I thought I was on the floor. I thought I was going to vomit. I was laughing so hard. Especially that scene where they're wrestling naked. Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing I've seen in a movie theater in my entire life. And they're running through that mortgage broker convention, through that dining hall at the hotel, naked, chasing each other with a marital aid. Hysterical. That is hysterical. Oh, my God, is that funny. Here's another thing that's funny. I find it funny. They are going to retire James Harden's number at a strip club in Houston.
Yeah, did you see the reasoning why?
Because he's spending so much money there.
No, that's not how they framed it. They framed it a little bit better than that. They framed it as they're retiring his jersey for as a sign of thank you for all the women he's helped put through college.
Yeah.
He,
because that's what they all
he
are,
helped,
college students.
He helped augment all these women's education, and that's why they're retiring his jersey. You know what?
Think of all
say
the doctors.
Will.
Think of all the doctors that are out there right now because of James Harden's
not
thirst.
Doctors, but you know, at least three or four dental hygienists. Let's
smiles be honest. Smiles are a lot wider right now James in Houston because of James Harden.
James Harden's doing what you got to do. James Harden's giving back to the community. That's what you have to do right there. You're getting back to the community. You're helping send these women to college.
Doesn't it seem strange, though? Wonderful. Doesn't it seem strange, though? I've always thought it seemed kind of strange where these guys who have more money than God, famous athletes, so they're in tip-top shape, and they go to strip joints. To me, that always seems strange. Like, you can't just go to, like, a normal bar slash club.
Don't forget.
Let's go to a club and pull. You'll be fine.
Exactly. Like, thank you, Jim.
Yes, but here's the thing. Here's the thing you got to remember. When they go to a strip club, they can still pull.
Yeah, I guess, but you could go to a bar
without trying. And
but there's
and when you're an athlete, you're probably not looking for any sort of effort, and you're also looking for maximum amount of fun. And at the cross point of those two things, you'll find a stripper.
So
that's all I'm saying.
Okay,
that's all I'm saying.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that the average girl who's at the average club is going to make James Harden sing for his supper, whereas the girl...
And she's not
going
to be as flexible.
Well, she might be. You never know.
Whether I'm using that literally or figuratively,
Look, there's a lot of girls out there, I'm sure, that were former dance students.
I know that. I'm just saying, but you're working with 100% dancers, or you're working with, a unknown percentage of dancers. That's all I'm saying. I agree with you. It's a little bit pointless. But I can at the same time, I can find the logic behind it. Did you see some of the women that were in the picture with James Harden?
Well, yeah, I did.
I'm going to have to look at the picture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're about what you expect.
I'm not saying you can't find women that are good looking at the club. You definitely can.
Here's what I think you're saying.
There's clearly a reason.
You're saying that, Smashley at the club is going to make you sing for your supper more than Dakota will.
Because
the odds are about the same.
It's just that when I sing for my supper, it's going to cost the same on both ends, but I can cut through the BS and just, pay one of them. Again, this is not my
Rocchio advocating for prostitution.
This is not my logic. This is the logic I'm using for them. And by the way, the biggest response I've ever gotten from a tweet is one I sent out a few weeks ago.
About Hugh Freeze?
Clay Travis sent out a tweet about how prostitution should be legal, and my comment was, pay a woman to have sex, illegal, pay a woman to have sex, but your friend Jim is filming it for his website, billion-dollar industry, completely legal, there's the line.
That is a bit of an oversimplification.
Is it a bit of an oversimplication?
It's a bit of an oversimplification.
Tell me right now the difference between porn and prostitution.
Okay, well, here's what the difference is that everybody's getting paid. It's not just the woman. The guy's getting paid too.
Significantly
and
less.
And you do sign contracts, and there is an actual film production and everything else. It's easy to say, okay, all we're doing is
Did you just pay a woman to have sex?
Okay, but you paid the guy too.
Okay.
There's the difference.
But is there a part of the transaction that you are paying a woman to have sex?
I guess it technically considered acting at that point.
Okay, there's guys out there right now who are paying for dinner. And paying for all kinds of different things that are getting sex too. Does that make the women hookers?
Oh, there's so many comments.
If you're listening, Rocchio does not have a very good opinion of you.
Of course they're not hookers. I'm not saying that. My point
is, it sounds like you kind of are. That, you're kind of not, like saying that you when you buy a woman dinner, you're expecting something at the end of the night.
In no way, shape, or form.
That's what it sounds like, Matarocchio.
No, but I'm saying you said you made that comment and said there's so many jokes about this where guys literally make a joke. Oh, what? Is there really a difference between dating and prostitution? Of course I'm not being serious about that.
But again, I'm saying there's a difference between shooting an adult film and getting a hooker.
Again, I think the difference is minute, and I think they should both be legal, and they should both be have a ton of regulations, because that's what they've done in the porn industry. They've added regulations out the gob. You know, you got to get tested. You got to have this contract signed. Like you were saying, you got to have this contract signed. All I'm saying is that I think the line's small enough that one shouldn't be illegal when one's legal. That's my bigger point. My other point is that James Harden and those guys are going to the strip club instead of just the club for a very specific reason. Because again, why would you go to some place where you always have to be spending money to watch the girls dance instead of a place where you all are constantly going to be pulling? I can't get.
I think it's about the same though. That's what my argument is. Is that you're still going to be
you're either
spending money at the club or you're spending money at the strip club. You're doing both. You're both going to pull at both said locales as well.
Then why do we see so much? Why do we see such a high percentage of the strip club? Or is it just that we see videos from the strip club and not the club?
I just think that they just like strippers. They just like strippers. I think also because of the perception that strippers are more DTF than what the average girl is.
And that's literally what I was just saying, Burger.
Okay, but what my point is that you would think that the average girl would be just as much for James Harden as the stripper would be.
Yeah,
that's what my point is.
Of a misnomer.
I don't know, dude.
Again, I'm trying to find some logic behind why you go to the strip club instead of the club. I don't understand it.
You don't understand it either.
No, that's why I was making ridiculous suppositions about the logic behind James Harden and these guys, because I have no idea. Because personally, if I'm ever fat stacked like that, I'm not going to the strip club and wasting it. I'm just not. I would much rather go. I'd much rather go to the club. That's a personal preference of mine. I have no idea why these guys are such big fans.
If the three of us,
I can understand it more if you're choosing between, like, you know, if you're pulling an Odom and you're choosing between the Bunny Ranch and the club.
If the three of us,
I don't get it,
river to the point of destitution that we were forced into prostitution, who do you think out of the three of us would be the most profitable prostitute?
Oh, Giamatti.
You think Giamatti would be?
Yes.
Giamatti would be breaking the most cash.
The kid's got a hustle. He's got a hustle attitude. That's what I think it is.
And he's got that foreign name too, of Pablo Giamatti.
Oh God,
you know the women are going to see that. They're going to be like, "I'm taking that guy."
Are you kidding me? And trust me, right now, can you picture this kid once he puts on the mid-70s porn stash? It's game over.
I'm in the process of growing one out.
It's game over.
You know what? Now that you say that, I'm seeing it a little bit more. Yeah, I'm seeing it a little bit more.
It's gonna make him look more like Pablo too.
Did you ever watch that show? Don Pablo. I think Richard Grieco is the executive producer on it.
Wow, a Richard Grieco reference.
Yeah,
oh, baby.
It is called Gigolos. It's on Showtime.
No, I've never seen that.
And it's Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo. Never the show.
What's that?
Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Never seen it.
Just reminds me of the always.
I'm not a big Rob Schneider fan.
Yeah. Reminds me of the Always Sunny episode where D's in a movie and the very first
person, D makes a smut film.
Yep. Yeah, D, the very first person who's on the film is Richard Grieco. And they're this is a porn. Like, she's like, no, it's not a porn. They're like, are you telling me Richard Grieco stars in the movie and it's not a porn?
And it turns totally into a porno.
Yeah, it's definitely a porno.
Anyway, so the movie or the show's called Gigolos. It's a reality show.
Oh,
and it's about these five gigolos in Vegas. And you should see some of the girls that hire these guys. It's like, God bless you, man. There's no way in hell I could do it.
I was going to say attractive or no?
No.
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 Oh, God.
Every
once, if you're attractive, you don't have to hire her.
Every once in a while, not bad. And they all have the same story. They're in from out of town, and the dating scene and whatever city they're coming from sucks. So they decided to go to Vegas and treat themselves, which is an understandable logic, especially when you see the way that some of these girls look.
Yeah.
But like some of these guys, I'm like, man, whatever they're paying you, they're not paying you enough at all.
Yeah, that's not a show I'm ever going to watch.
It's actually kind of funny, to be honest with you. I mean, there's this one guy on there. He thinks like he's this multi-talented guy and everything he does sucks. Like he tried to be a rapper and his rapping sucked. He tried to do stand-up comedy and his stand-up comedy wasn't funny. And then he tried to get into adult films and he like wasn't even any good at that. It's like, look, dude. You're a gigolo. I mean, just accept the fact that's the only thing apparently you're good at, and just live with it. There's worse things in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
There's worse things in life than that.
Okay, for sure. We'll go with that.
I mean, he could be walking behind the elephant with a giant shovel. I would imagine that's probably worse.
Yeah, that's the one I'll give it. Yeah, that's the one that's worth.
There you go. As we pivot.
Congratulations. You found it.
Yeah. As we pivot awkwardly back to the National Basketball Association, the word is that LeBron James is working out in Los Angeles with Russell Westbrook, CP3, and Derrick Rose. What do you make of this, Manrocchio? Anything or nothing?
Yeah, LeBron always has a little crew that he works out with every offseason.
I don't think he's ever worked out with Westbrook, though, so I found that kind of interesting.
I think the Westbrook one comes from, I don't know, he's got a bunch of point guards. You know, maybe Westbrook's friends with Chris and Derrick.
Hey, him working out with
weird,
Derek,
but it's just
him working out with Derek Rose makes sense because now he's on the team.
And they've been talking about it literally since the moment Derek signed. They were talking about it on Twitter about, hey, where are we going to work out and things like that. So that's not surprising. And Westbrook, I mean, CP3 obviously being there is unsurprising considering he's part of the Banana Boat crew. So Westbrook's a little bit of the curveball, but that's not, I mean, it's another one of the stars playing with some more stars. So no, I'm not looking anything into it. It's just, I mean, if he was all of a sudden, if he was working out with, you know, Brandon Ingram, maybe that'd pique my interest a little bit.
Word out of the NFL is that Le'Veon Bell did not report to training camp. He still wants a deal. Aaron Donald is now holding out with the Rams, and I think that's actually a pretty smart thing to do if I'm Aaron Donald. Le'Veon Bell, he wants to be paid as a receiver and not a running back because he catches many passes.
He wants to be paid like a number one running back and a number two receiver because he catches so many passes.
Okay. And an important correction. Thank you, Manrocchio.
Yes.
Also with the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger is hinting around retirement that this may be his last season in the NFL. And I'm kind of with Bill Parcells when he says this. Once you start talking about retired, you're retired. And if I'm the Steelers, I'm a little concerned about this because if you're already thinking about it, where's your head going to be the entire season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they've been freaking out about that since, well, I mean, we heard it right after the season ended. I mean, I'm pretty sure before the Super Bowl was even played, there were rumblings out there that Roethlisberger was thinking about hanging it up during the offseason, and then obviously that didn't happen, so this is unsurprising.
They say that in January, I never give it much credence because it's January, you come off a long season, you've been beaten to a pulp for months on end. I can understand and be like, yeah, you know what, I think I'm done with this. But when you're saying it right now, I give it a little more. I give it a little more weight.
I'll wait to freak out until after training camp because that's despite the fact that it's hard and it's annoying. These guys really still love training camp, and the way I've heard it, it's when you're in the middle of training camp, and you don't want to keep going that you're like, yeah, this is it for me. This is my last time out. So I like to think. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm not freaking out yet. If we hear if we hear rustlings of this stuff in week four, then I'm you know panicking a little bit because we're into the season. It's obviously not the fact that he's just playing and being with the guys isn't keeping him into it. I'd start losing it if I was them there because they don't have a plan on Roethlisberger at all.
What do you make of Odell Beckham Jr. saying that he wants to be the highest paid player in the NFL?
There's always going to be somebody who has to throw him the ball, so good luck. The guy's really good. There's no doubt about that. By the way, yeah, it still is Landry Jones. They did sign Josh. Still the Steelers. They did get Joshua Dobbs, who was out of Tennessee. Who, if you ask TJ Moe, is the worst quarterback to ever be drafted by an NFL team.
He's kind of hard on Tennessee, though, isn't he? Though TJ,
he's really hard on Tennessee, and despite the fact that Joshua Dobbs is a rocket scientist, does not face TJ to disparage his quarterback.
That would not shock me,
which is fair. Your question was about, and move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and your question was about who again?
Was about Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes. He's never going to be the highest paid player in the game. Those are quarterbacks. Somebody has to throw you the ball, and that guy's going to get paid more.
He's not even the best receiver in the NFL.
Antonio Brown
is a better receiver than what he is, and so is Julio Jones. I would even say A.J. Green's a better receiver than Odell Beckham Jr.
I would say that A.J. Green has the possibility to be a better receiver than Odell Beckham Jr., but the fact of the numbers tells me that Odell Beckham Jr. is a better player than him. More productive player.
He's got a better quarterback, though, than Andy Dalton.
Is it that much better?
Eli Manning has won two Super Bowls. Andy Dalton hasn't even won a playoff game.
That's fine. At this point in their careers, they're that big of a gap between those two. I'm not saying Eli's not better. I'm saying, is the gap really that big?
It kind of is.
I don't think so.
Let's head to the Bellman Automotive phone line, and Big Al joins us. Good evening, Big Al. How are you?
What's up, my bottom-feeding, broke-ass, basement-living Texters? Get ready! It's me! Hey.
Good thing you said Texas. We were about to have a problem.
Yeah, Big Al.
I wouldn't say that to you guys. You're my dudes.
Big Al, you'd be proud of me right now. I am wearing a very, very nice Marshawn Lynch silver and black Raiders jersey, baby.
Boo.
Rocky was so jealous of this bad boy.
I'm calling in.
Boo.
Hey, pot him down. Pot him down. Hey, that's exactly why I'm calling in. Because Ben Roethlisberger, you're getting old. Hey, Tom Brady, when you get off the steroids, you're done. Andrew Luck, you're nothing. Jameson, you're nothing. And guess who's going to be the best quarterback for a long time to come? Mr. Derek Carr.
It wouldn't shock me. It really wouldn't. Derek Carr has been a better pro than I thought he was going to be.
Did you call Jameson?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Jameis Winston, whatever. Jameson stealing crab legs, whatever. He needs to be. But anyway.
It was a deal.
Yeah, it's going to be Derek Carr, my Raiders in Oakland, and then on to Vegas.
How disappointed are you going to be when Marshawn Lynch doesn't run for more than 500 yards?
I don't care, because all I need him to do is run it into the end zone. I'll get my boys to run it from the 20s and then give it to the beast mode.
I'm with you on that one. That sounds like a plan to me.
And not only that, we'll fake it to him and throw it to one of my receivers. Who you want, Crabtree or Cooper? How about the tight end?
And now they're talking about how Calvin Johnson may come out of retirement and join the Raiders, too.
Who the hell is your tight end?
It's Jared Cook.
It's me. I'm third string. But listen.
I'd rather have you
Raiders and Jared. Tight end is Jared Cook.
Jared Cook signed with the Raiders. Yeah.
God.
Yeah. And my buddy sent me with a golf cart to get me used to the impact. So I'm going to be walking on here soon. But anyway, we got the best kicker around, Sebastian Tchaikovsky.
It's amazing, man. He's been around that long with the same team. It's just incredible.
Yes.
I think I have the same body fat content as Sebastian Tchaikovsky.
I'd be jealous if I had the same. Go ahead.
You better tighten your ship up, Mr. D coordinator, because you start fumbling around again and you gone. Because the only thing on his back is the defense. And will you please let my gun toting dude on Smith in there, man? He come on, man. He got to wrestle up some quarterbacks and strangle them.
Big Al, have a great weekend, sir.
What just happened the last 5 seconds of that call?
Well, I mean, it's 8 o'clock on a Friday night, and it's Big Al.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, 8 p.m. Friday night. This is gonna be coherent.
It was a nice day outside, too, so I'm sure that he probably played like 3 rounds of golf.
He called in and he said, time to fire up the text line.
It's too bad we're at the end of the night. Otherwise, sure the text line would be fired up.
Quick bet. Over under 5.5 hours since his first one.
Since his first one?
Yes.
Over under?
Yes, 5.5 hours. 2 o'clock.
Way over.
Over.
Way over. Way over.
12?
That's probably
7:55 a.m.
That's probably closer.
Hey, Bloody Mary.
Special thanks to Lindsey Eversmeyer, Bob Nightingale, Shane Young, Matt Whitener, Howard Balzer, Clay Byersdorfer, Tyler Copeland, Rob Raines, Blake Topmeyer, and Kevin Brackett for joining us this weekend. Monday in studio will be J.J. Bailey from KMOV.com, lead baseball writer, talking about the trade deadline. And I'm sure the Mike Matheny Yadier Molina soap opera will continue as well. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. The Friday Night Sports Jam with a Black Soccer Company coming up next, right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Have a great weekend. Love.